Good to see everybody out tonight. And we finally made it to December 22nd, the shortest day of the year. 23 hours and 60 minutes as opposed to the other days of the year. But it is a case of sunlight will start going in the opposite direction now. Look forward to maybe longer days and warmer temperatures eventually. It's amazing the way that God's created the world and how we can know various things such as seasons and the sunlight and exactly how long days will be in the future as far as this world is concerned. What we don't know is how long our day is going to be, what's going to happen in our future. But we do know that as long as we are doing what God says, then we have a home in heaven. And we always want to make sure that's where we're headed. That when this life ends, and it will eventually for all of us, that we want to be able to look forward to that time, be with God, be with our Savior, be with the other saints. And so as we get ready in a little while to sing a song of encouragement, we simply ask you to think about your condition or so. And if you are not right with God, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, not believe He's Son of God, not repent of your sins, confess Him, been baptized, forgiveness of sins, then we're here to aid you in any way we can to do that. So let us know at that time. What we've been doing for a number of Sunday nights now, we've been talking about Proverbs. And just different lessons about Proverbs, what I call Christian characteristics and things Christians we need to remember. And so tonight I want to talk about something that's Proverbs that talks about friends and friendship. And I want to ask you, what do the following names have in common? What do they mean to you? Harold Foster. George Bush. And not the George Bush, that not George W. Bush or George H. Bush, but simply George Bush. Or Ricky Hicks. What do those names mean to you? And if they mean anything to you, it's simply by circumstance of commonality in names, but those names mean something to me because they were childhood friends. They were the guys I played basketball with and football with in my neighborhood. Or they were guys in junior high and high school that I palled around with. And they are people that today have no idea where they're at. But they were friends at one time or another. If I would ask you to put together a list of friends that comes to mind, if I simply say, put together your list of friends. And it may be long or short. It may be just a few names. It may be a long name. But probably depends largely upon how you define friend, doesn't it? There are acquaintances we have, and then there are people we would call friends. I remember a number of years ago when we had moved, and Eli was senior in high school, and I know it was a hard year on him. But I remember a conversation I was having with somebody back in Arkansas. And they was talking about a friend. I could just hear one side of the conversation, but I remember somebody, and I could figure out what they were asking. That is, have you made any friends? And he said, well, it kind of depends on your definition of friend. And then next thing he said, well, a friend is somebody that you can sit down with at lunchtime and be yourself. And that was maybe a very simple definition of friend, but it was one that seemed to work at that time. As we think about friends, it's interesting because some people have long enduring friendships, and some people seem to have friends for a very limited time period. They got some kind of go from one person to another person to another person. And often we may look around and say, what is it about, maybe about me, or why is it that some people can have friends and I can't? Those kind of questions come up. And so Proverbs looks at a lot of those type of questions and answers them and gives us a warning about friends also. And so Proverbs 12 verse 26. And we're just going to go through some of these Proverbs that talk about friends. But it says the righteous who chooses friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, there's a lot of lessons we could gather out of that, but the one thing about friendship is that really there are one few things we really get to choose. And when you look around your family, you think about your parents, you don't choose them. You don't choose your brothers and sisters. You don't choose your extended family. That is simply by birth who you have. But when you think about our friends, we do choose those people. We have a deliberate choice about who we're going to spend time with and who we're going to have enduring friendships with or relationships with. And so when you look at somebody's friends, it really does say something about us. They're a reflection on us. I remember in high school, teachers in high school and also in at church talking about be careful who you choose because it puts you in a certain category of people. And what they're referring to that is, again, the idea that our friends show what our values are. And so we ask the question, what attracts you to certain people? What are some things that makes you want to have that person as a friend? A lot of times it's common experiences. It may be the fact that you have gone and endured something together. Maybe you grew up in the same area. And maybe the idea of backgrounds. I'm told that, for instance, like you're in the military, and maybe you're stationed in a foreign country, and you find out there's somebody else there that they may not have grown up near you, but they grew up in Kentucky. And you grew up in Kentucky, and all of a sudden you have a common background. You have something that you can relate to with the other person. And maybe the idea of talents. You like to play basketball, and the other person plays basketball. Or maybe a case that you like to go out hunting, and the other person likes to go out hunting also. A hunter has a lot more chance of having things in common with another hunter than they do a hairdresser, for instance. So it may be some talents that you have in common. And maybe family. You have young children, the other person has young children. You have maybe older parents, and the other person has older parents. Those kind of things are things that we find as far as common ground. And when you talk to about other people about it. And the Bible warns, though, about certain dangers of friendships also. And it began, as we had in that proverb just a minute ago, of choose your friends wisely. For instance, over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, evil companions corrupt good morals. And that is, friendships can be a source of strength, the Bible says, or it can be a source of hindrance. Actually, bad things can be because of who you choose your friends. So I say, you need to choose your friends wisely because that friendship can hurt us. Another proverb, Proverbs 13, verse 20, on the same lines, say, he who walks with wise men be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You can learn good habits or bad habits from your friends. Another proverb, Proverbs 16, verse 29, says, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads in a way that is not good. And what that means is that as we're around people, we tend to take on certain characteristics. We have certain things in common with each other. For instance, there may be a case, the way that we say things. Now you have a group of people, maybe again, I think about young people especially, but I don't think it's limited to this. But you may have certain people that you like to pal around with, and you start using certain phrases that everybody else in that group knows, but other people may think it's kind of strange. You know, again, kind of use Eli as an example of this here, but one time in high school, that he had about four or five people that he was really close friends with, and I remember being at a social gathering, and when they were partying, they turned to each other and said, goodbye, comrade. Now, that's not a phrase we use very often in this country, is it? Comrade. But somehow that phrase started to be used among that group, and that became kind of like their lingo, the way they were saying things. It may be the idea even of vulgarity. Being around other people that use foul language, and it's hard not to fall in that trap. A lot of times people start using foul language because around other people using foul language. Or it may be a case of outbursts of anger. That people start acting angrily when they get to this point. And so, again, that can become habit forming. You can be a curse to do that by your friends. Your manner of dress. The way you dress, kind of like what everybody else dresses like. And so you may think about, again, maybe appropriateness or inappropriateness of dress. Can all be a reflection because of your friends, the way they dress around you. And so those are some things that the Bible just warns about. Make sure you choose your friends wisely because they do influence the way you think and the way you act in life. But then another proverb we could look at. And that is over Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. And that is, some friendships are temporary. Now, by temporary, I don't mean that they are totally useless. That may be a case that you have a good friend, but for a very limited amount of time. Maybe you go to band camp together. Maybe you have something else in common together that brings you together for that short period of time period. And afterwards, it's gone. As a preacher, there have been times we have lived in for certain areas and we have good friends there. But then when you move away, it's easy for the friendships to kind of dissolve after time. And so it said, and those mean those friendships didn't mean anything to us. It's just simply that they were temporary. Other friendships may actually be what we call sunshine friends. Fair weather friends, maybe another phrase we use there. And ask people that are around us as long as everything's going okay. And think about the prodigal son in Luke 15 chapter. Now the passage actually doesn't say they had that the prodigal son when he went to a foreign away country. And said waste is good and riotous or prodigal living. It actually doesn't say they had a lot of drinking buddies, but a lot of times we infer that they had people around him that as long as he had money, that they were willing to be around that person. What it does say is once the money was gone, he was by himself. That was it. And there may be a certain type of people again that we think are really our friends, but they are not going to be there whenever we have a time of need. When things start going the wrong way. And then those kind of people like the drinking buddies. As long as you want to buy their beer or buy whatever they want to drink, then they're okay. But as soon as you run out, they're gone. And so the real friends are going to be there in time of need. And that's often why whenever we talk about adversity comes, that's when you find out who your real friends are. Those are the ones that really care about you versus those who are using you to get out what they can from you. And so when you look at that proverb there, about the friendship there, the word brother there, it's not talking about family relationship as far as physical brother, but it's used in reference to how close the relationship is. There's a brother that will be there no matter what happens. And maybe all of us have somebody like that. That we know that whenever they stood by us in time of need, that they really were a brother to, like a brother to us. And so it shows the closest of the relationship that we have with that person. And there's other passages that talks about that. For instance, if you turn your Bible over to Ecclesiastes 4th chapter. And Ecclesiastes 4th chapter, in verses 9 through verse 12, it talks about those who will be with us to help us overcome the trials of life. And so verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For they fall, one will his companion. But woe to him as alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and three-four cords not quickly broken. Every situation it describes, there is some kind of adversity. You fall down. You have basically the idea again of one lying down and keeping warm when it's cold outside. Each one of those deals with some kind of trial. And again, how many times, maybe in your life, you've had some kind of bad thing happen, some kind of trial to occur, and then you think about, I don't know how I would have survived that without my friends, without somebody maybe to come in a time of need and simply be with you. Or somebody provides an aid whenever you need that. So friends can actually help you overcome the trials of life. In Proverbs 27 verse 17, that talks about overcoming loneliness. Man is a social creature. Most of us need people to be around us, to talk to associate with on time basis. And Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. They make each other better. They make each other sharper is the idea there of overcoming loneliness. It also talks about the friends are those who point out your faults. In Galatians 6th chapter, and it talks about if you see a man overtaken as trespass, those who are spiritual, go and restore them with a spirit of gentleness. Now who's going to do that? I'll point out, well, let's talk about the spiritually minded person. But you know, and really a person that will go to you when they think you are in sin, when they have a concern about your soul, that person really is a friend to you. And so when you think about somebody coming to you and saying, I think you, we need to talk about this, they're doing what's necessary. They're doing something out of concern for your soul. And so a friend can point out your faults and the sins you have in your life. And not only that, but also friends are going to be honest with us. Over in Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. In my generation, there was a show called Leave It to Beaver. And Leave It to Beaver is black and white. If you had a chance to go back and see that, probably now if you look at it, you think, how can people watch that thing? But there was a character on there by the name of Eddie Haskell. And Eddie Haskell was the smart, or was the kid that was always pretending to be so nice to everybody, but really, you always knew that this kid really wasn't that nice. And there are people like that that's going to tell you whatever you want to hear. They're going to tell you that everything's great, that if you ask them, they're not going to tell you the truth, although you need to hear the truth. And so there's people that's not a sign of, you know, we want people that's going to be honest with you. And so it points out to us that flattery is seldom a sense of friendship. If somebody's always flattering you, then you can't be careful with that person. Because you're not always going to be right. And so you need somebody that can be honest with you. Another proverb comes to mind. It's over in the 18th chapter. And there verse 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be a friend. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that is, what does that mean? A friend who wants to have friends must be friendly. Well, you stop thinking about that. It means one thing is that in order to have friends, you have to put forth some effort. When somebody says, I don't know why I never have friends or why I can't keep my friends, a lot of times it may be because you're not willing to invest in each other. And that is, again, we stop thinking about that having a good, close friend requires some work and some time. And maybe a case I mentioned earlier that there are certain people we have known or had known at one time that we considered good friends, but once we moved away, they're no longer really in that friendship category. They become more like the acquaintance category. But that doesn't mean that's everybody that we have at one time or another been around. In fact, just a few weeks ago, we had Johnny and Donna Jones here, and those people that I preached there in Trenton, Florida, and left in the 1994. And so that's been a long time ago. But we're still friends now. We still consider them close friends of ours. How and why? Because we made the effort to stay in contact. And we talk to each other. And so it requires time and effort as far as having friendships. But not only that, but also another thing is the ability to forgive one another. If you get to be a close friend of somebody, you're going to find out that they have their faults. And then eventually, if you're friends with somebody long enough, they're actually going to do something you don't like. And they may even do something that, you know, hurts your feelings. And a lot of people, once that happens, they're willing to just kind of turn the page and say, forget about it. I don't need that person anymore. But a friend is somebody that says, okay, you're not perfect. And I'm not perfect, but we can be imperfect together. That we can actually deal with one another and realize that we can forgive somebody if they say something, do something we don't like. And then also a friend is somebody that's willing to be inconvenienced. A lot of things of friendships are not convenient. Being the brother that helps in time of need, for instance. That often is not convenient. But because they're a friend, you're willing to do that. You're willing to go out of your way to help somebody else. So these are some things as far as what that passage is talking about being friendly. If you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. It's interesting, and that is, it points out to us, it's not the quantity of friends that matters, it's the quality of friends. We may look at certain people and say, well, they have all kinds of friends. They're surrounded by people. They may have a lot of acquaintances, but they're really not friends. Again, they don't fall in this category that we're talking about right here. And don't be misled by that. We may actually think that popularity and friendship are the same thing, and they're not. And so it's the quality of friends that really matters. But then not only that, but also we go on, and notice in different translations, Proverbs 24 verse 18 reads differently, and really quite a bit differently. because the manuscripts read quite a bit differently. For instance, the NIV, instead of somebody saying that men who wants to be, have friends must be friendly, and that passage notes there, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. And then it goes on and says, but there's friend that sticks closer than a brother. The New American Standard actually says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin. Now again, that's quite a bit different rendering than what the New King James says. I may think, now what's that actually getting across? Now I can maintain that part of that, again, is transcript. The manuscript they use to translate from is different. But really start thinking about, well, what's that lesson they're teaching us out of that passage? And what it points out to us is, again, don't mistake popularity for friendships. If somebody has a whole bunch of friends, you may have to wonder why. Why are they really people you count on? And not only that, but also the closest people are the ones that help us the most. And so if you have somebody that's close to you, that person is more valued than somebody that just kind of knows you. And so some of those lessons there are present in that passage right there. But then also as you go on, in Proverbs, there's something else about friendship, and that's Proverbs 27 verse 5. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of the enemy are deceitful. And this is pretty similar to what we had studied a little bit earlier. And that is, again, a true friend is going to tell you what you need to hear, as opposed to what you want to hear. And so if somebody comes to you and says, you know, that I think you're wrong, or they start criticizing you, don't overreact to that. Don't get mad at them just because they're telling you that they really think there's something wrong in your life. There's something being honest with you, and that's what a friend does to each other. And along that same lines, over in Proverbs 29 verse 5 said, man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And that is, he actually has a snare or a trap is the idea. Again, a person that tells you everything is great when they know it's not, a person tells you you're right when you're not right, that person is actually just planting a trap for you. And you'll fall into it if you're not careful. And so be careful again of a person who is just flattering you as opposed to telling you the truth. And so as it goes on, we need to be careful of these things right here. Because a person will lie to you, a lie for you, lie to you. Though the ad is right there. So be careful of that kind of person and your friendship. But then also another proverb. Proverbs 27 verse 10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. Now go to your brother's house on the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. This proverb's meant a lot. And I relate to this a lot because of how where I lived and how long we lived in other places. And that for a long time period, we would see our family about twice a year. Either we would see Regina's mom and dad at Christmas time and my parents during the summer, or we would just reverse that and see my parents during the winter time and then Regina's mom and dad during the summer. And so for the most part, our family really was the Christians we worshiped with. Those were people we saw on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Those were the people we got to celebrate the birthdays with. Those were the people that we actually went and spent Thanksgiving with. Those were the people that whenever something bad happened, but they were the ones that could help us. And the reason was they were the ones that were there. And while our parents loved us, our family loved us, they couldn't help us when they're 600 miles away. And so same thing about our friends, that a brother close or a friend close to us is better than a brother far away from you, and that they could be there in time of need, in time of help. And so just keep that in mind. In Proverbs 27 verse 14, it says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted to him a curse. Anything about that Proverbs? Well, what I'm saying to this. And that is that there are limitations. And there are boundaries in friendships. And we understand the idea of a loud voice in the morning. And that is, it's annoying. I was down in Bowling Green a number of years ago, and our children had, I guess the girls had rented a house. And it was summertime, and the yard in the house needed to be mowed. And so I go down there with my lawnmower, and I go out and start mowing, and the mower gets clogged because the grass hadn't been mowed for a while, grass is kind of tall. And I'm about ready to start up again. I hear a man yelling at me. And he's yelling at me across the ditch and across the yard at, from the window of another house. And what's he yelling at me? He's yelling, "It's too early." I realize it's 7:30 in the morning. And here I am out with my lawnmower. Now where I live at, 7:30 in the morning, you can do anything you want to. Our neighbors are a half mile away. But there, your neighbor's right next to you. And so that's the case where a loud noise in the morning was anointing. Well, in our friendships, there are certain things that we could do where we go beyond the boundaries. And we actually alienate people because we haven't abided by the boundaries of friendship. And those boundaries often change. Let me give you an example of that. When I preached down in Gainesville, we had a family move in from Puerto Rico, Christians. And they placed membership with us. And after a little while, we had some people in the congregation come to us complaining about this family. And why? Well, the reason they were complaining about it is because they said, well, you know, we had them over to our house. And what we have to say to people whenever they come visit with us? We say something to the effect of, make yourself at home. Now, we understand there's certain limitations to that, right? But what we mean is, be comfortable around us. But there's limitations to that. Well, in Puerto Rico, you tell somebody, make yourself a home. They really mean, make yourself a home. And so they were doing some things like, maybe they're after lunch, something like that, and they got tired or sleeping. They go in one of the bedrooms, lay down. Well, that's something we generally don't do in our country, in our society, right? And that there are certain limitations we understand that you don't transgress. Well, in friendships, again, you understand what the limitations are. Now, those may change after a while. What's the plaque somebody had about backdoor friends are the best kind of friends? Those come to the back door and just let themselves in the house. We don't want everybody letting themselves in our house. But a close friend that we trust and know for many years, that's okay. So we have to know where the boundaries are in our friendships. And many a friendship has been wrecked because you transgressed those boundaries. You've done something that really should not do in that friendship. And so those are some things that Proverbs talks to us about with our friendships. I found interesting this survey about five things people want in their friends. And if I would ask you to write down on this tonight, your top five things of what you want in a friend. Okay, I'm tempted to say write them down, you'll give 5 minutes, but we're not going to do that. But the survey said, here's our top five things people want in friendships. One is, they want somebody they can trust. Which makes perfect sense, right? We don't want to be friends with somebody that we can't trust them. And so we want people we can trust. The second is very closely aligned to that, and that is they want somebody that's honest. Honesty. Again, more on the lines of if I ask them to tell me, does this dress make me look fat? But they don't actually tell you the truth. Or does this tie look wrong? Then they'll tell you the truth about that. They're going to be honest with you. Then another thing is fun. Again, that makes sense. None of us want to be around somebody that's not fun to be around, somebody we don't enjoy being around. And so we want somebody that has sense of humor, somebody we wouldn't laugh at. And so fun is another thing. Another thing, they said, they want somebody that's understanding. Somebody that can sympathize with them. Somebody that will listen and can understand where I'm coming from. That understands me. And then the fifth thing in that list there is they want loyalty. Somebody that will stand beside me or help me in time of thick and thin. Somebody I can count on, in other words. And so these are the top five things on the list. And I notice there are certain things that we may think is not, again, popularity. It's not money. It's not even good looks. But it's simply those five simple qualities that they want to have friends. And if you had those qualities, then you will be a good friend to somebody else. And so those are the things that the Proverbs simply tells us and talks to us about with friends and friendship. The Bible also says that we have a friend. And that is we have, as John 15 verse 13, as Jesus taught his disciples before his arrest, before his betrayal, and before his death. And he refers to disciples as friends. They got that someplace along the line, they had gone from somebody being servants of his and students to being actually friends of his. And he talks about this fact in verse 13, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus died for us. There's no greater friendship, no greater thing a person can do for any one of us than to lay down their life for us. But he says, if you want to be my friend, you don't have to do some great, fantastic deed. All you have to do is simply obey my word. And you'll be my friend. And so tonight, are you a friend of Jesus? Are you doing what Jesus commands you, simply ask us to do? Are you obeying his word? Now, hopefully so. But again, as we have the song of encouragement, that if you need to respond tonight, oh, why not tonight? As the questions ask you, if you need to respond, won't you do so? Stand as we sing.